reading begins at Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, goes through to Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for none, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me, all the waves and the breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your home temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head, to the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath me calm. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was heading away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turned away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have, I will make. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and he vomited Jonah onto dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed that all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God, let them give up their evil ways and their idols. Who knows, God may yet relent, and with compassion turn from his fierce anger, so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring them the destruction he had planned. Last week we left Jonah in the belly of the It was a cliffhanger of an episode. Would he live or would he die? Well, our reading this morning gives us the exciting next episode in the Adventures of Jonah. He does, in fact, survive. He survived 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a big fish before being thrown up on the shore. 3 days dead before being returned to life. That is the sign of Jonah that Jesus refers to in Matthew's Gospel, as a prophecy of his own 3 days dead before returning to life. However, these 3 days in the fish's belly were not just spent plucking plankton out of his beard. Now, these days became his own time of spiritual transformation. A time where Jonah had a chance to reflect on where he's come from and what he's done, and the unusual way that God has chosen to save him. And the culmination of this spiritual introspection is the psalm we have recorded in Jonah chapter 2. Because that's what it is, it's a psalm. Just as worthy to be called that is the 150 that we find gathered in the book entitled The Psalm in our Bibles. Just like those, these words of Jonah are altered, born out of the writer's experience of God. In this case, God's salvation of him from being hurled into the sea. Jonah's expressing his joy at God delivering him, despite his running away from God. And he's come to a new understanding in his faith. It's interesting to think that Jonah expresses his salvation before he's actually made it to dry land. He's still in the belly of the fish at this point. Salvation for Jonah is salvation from drowning, salvation from death. He's sure that God will get him to dry land. Salvation comes before deliverance in this case. Because if God sorted out one problem with a big fish, then the next problem can be resolved as well. Jonah's faith in God has been strengthened. His faith can see how God not only deals with what is big, but how God will deal with what is to come. However, there is also the sense in these words Jonah in the psalm that are very self-centered. There's no mention of the sailors on the boat, no mention of Nineveh. Jonah as yet doesn't see that he still needs to take up his prophetic call. It's still all about him and God, but there is a new start there. His prayer only takes Jonah so far, but it's a significant distance. But Jonah needs something more to take him on. He's been saved, but all his problems have yet to be resolved. He needs to now get on and live the new life for which he's been saved. For that, he needs God to call him. Jonah concludes his psalm with the words, "Salvation comes from the Lord." And after that moment of reverence to God, God has the fish vomit him onto dry land. God delivers Jonah from the fish in a disgusting fashion. Salvation leads to deliverance. At least in baptism by immersion, you get clean. And without much further ado, the story proceeds without Jonah having much time to clean the fish off and in his hair. God reaffirms his calling. And he's on to go to the great city of Nineveh. And instead of running away this time, Jonah does that. He goes to Nineveh. The work of transformation within him is complete. He takes the next step. Salvation has become new life. Jonah's experience so far has enabled him to see that God will make sure he survives preaching in this city of wickedness, in this city of Israel's greatest enemy. Now, close to shoreline, on the Mediterranean, to Nineveh was 350 miles away, straight on. So Jonah's got quite a walk ahead of him. Unless that fish had a big vomit, perhaps, of course. But that skipped over that long walk in the meaningful stop in our Bibles. Nineveh was one of the great cities of the age. It had been vastly expanded around the time of Jonah. And this has been shown in archaeological digs by Agatha Christie's husband, Max Moody, who is one of the great archaeologists who excavated the Nineveh. And in our reading, it says it took Jonah 3.5 days for him to go through the city. And those 3.5 days would have meant it took him 3.5 days to go throughout the city proclaiming the Lord's message, to go through all its public squares. Those words, we see Jonah finally fulfilling his prophetic calling in the city of Nineveh. And Jonah proclaims God's message, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And Jonah is confident that the words will fall on deaf ears and the wrath of the Lord will fall on Nineveh. However, here is what I think is the greatest error of Jonah. Far greater than one being man being saved, drowned by a big fish. The biggest miracle is that everyone who hears Jonah's words believes that God will do what he says, so they immediately repent. Hope for the better man. They declare a vast dress and sandal, signs that they're seeking God's mercy and offering contrition. Even the king does this. Where is Jonah? Jonah ran away from God's word, the people of Nineveh moved towards God in repentance. Salvation comes to Nineveh and crying out to God for news. A nation that was known for its violence and evil turns around and seeks something different. And 3 days into a 40-day mission, Jonah's calling was complete. The effect of his preaching is that the Assyrians have come to acknowledge the true God, mission successful. Through fasting and repentance, they've turned from their old ways and chosen to walk with God into the future. And God looks on them with compassion. He does not do to them as they deserve. He shows them mercy and grace. So does this mean that God changes his mind? In the story of Jonah. We sometimes sing of the unchanging God in our songs of worship. But in this story, does God change his mind? Because in the message Jonah proclaims, there seems to be no offer of compassion based upon repentance. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It seems fairly defensive. But it doesn't come to pass. The tricky thing is, the word overthrown we have in our reading is not an easy one to translate into English, and it's possibly better understood as overturned rather than overthrown. Jonah thinks it means destruction. The people of Nineveh think it means repentance. And the prospect of them repenting wasn't something actually Jonah wanted, so he didn't think it meant that. And as we'll see in our next sermon on Jonah in a couple of weeks, Jonah didn't want the outcome that God brought to Nineveh. The Ninevites probably believed that they would be destroyed, but they repented because they didn't have another choice. The God, being the God of compassion and grace, hopes that the Ninevites' hearts will be overturned by Jonah's words and will come to him in repentance. So does God change his mind? No. God is always the God of the second chance. He's always the God of grace. He's always the God of compassion. Destruction may be our destiny, this passage for our own minds today. Well, we do worship a God who is gracious and compassionate. We regularly sing songs such as "How Deep the Father's Love for Us," "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," "Thank You for Saving Me." And rightly so, because God deserves our praise and worship for his grace and compassion, for the salvation he offers us. And Jonah too sang a song of praise to God for saving him from living in the belly of a great fish. And if he could sing it there is nowhere where we cannot sing God's praise. But what next for us after we've sung our songs of worship and we gather on a Sunday? That is always the question for us. Where does our singing of our salvation received in Jesus lead us? What do we do after we leave here on a Sunday? What is the consequence of our gathering in worship? It is great for us to sing God's praise. It was great for us to sing such words as, "Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives." It's great to sing words such as those. It was great that Jonah proclaimed words such as, "But I, the shanks of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." That was good. But what was most important was what came next in Jonah's life. happened when God said those fateful words that Jonah probably knew were coming? Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message I give you. Does Jonah do what he did the first time when God said that to him? Run away to the nearest port, hop on a boat, go as far away as you can. And all of us, when we've sung our songs and praise about how wonderful God is, how awesome the gift of salvation that God offers us in Jesus Christ, do we leave this place and that call that God has echoed for centuries is once again laid upon our hearts by the Spirit? Do we take that up? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. Do we do this in response to what we've done? Or do we run away on the boat and sail as far away as possible, or whatever equivalent that might be in our lives? These are words that are just as scary as the words that God called Jonah. They're less specific, but just as challenging. We understand why Jonah ran away. We may have done the same in his shoes. And when we reflect upon the implications of God's compassion on ourselves, we may like to do the same thing. We might not actually get in a boat and sail away, but we focus on other things. Pockets, money, family, all worthwhile endeavours, but they can be all consumed. So we can pretend that the call to go and make disciples of all nations doesn't necessarily apply. We're fairly sure that there is no big fish lurking around the corner waiting to swallow us up if we don't get it. So we pretend this calling doesn't apply to us for a bit longer. The Great Commission is just as much a part of this world of our lives as gathering the portions. So if we manage to sing our songs of praise to God who has saved us with some semblance of conviction, yet don't go and witness gospel of Jesus Christ in any manner whatsoever, then we really need to think whether we're missing the point of this following Jesus. It's about moving from worship to mission naturally in our lives. Jonah eventually got it. When he got his second chance, he did run away. He took out his calling and shared the words of God with others. Marked up worship of God by Jonah. Half-down worship of God can lead us to effective mission as well. We gather here to be sent out to God's hand. So let His Spirit lead you in worship. Then let His Spirit